Our second case for this morning is In Re Cavisto. So we will hear from Mr. Cavisto.
Good morning. May it please the Court. First thing I'd like to point out, that what's before this Court is only the order of disbarment from the Northern District of Illinois, that the State Court of Florida and Illinois are not before this Court.
Nor really could they be, as far as I can tell.
And both of those, actually, in both of those cases, I did petition to the Supreme Court, and they denied cert on both of those cases. And eventually, on the point that I want to emphasize here is that the district court order, which is in the short appendix, makes no findings whatsoever. There is not even a bare assertion that the selling requirements have been met. And similarly, in the Supreme Court of Illinois order, no findings were made. No findings were made. No statements that the selling Radford criteria had been met. In contrast,
the referee's report has got a lot of findings of fact, hasn't it?
Yes.
Well, isn't that the basic document here?
That's the document. The referee's report was written by the prosecution. All of it. There's no findings made by the Supreme Court of Florida, because the Supreme Court of Florida struck my brief, the answer brief of the bar, and my reply brief. I mean, the arguments were there. They struck them all. They adopted the findings of the referee. The referee's report.
But your brief was untimely. Surely you're not saying that the Supreme Court of Florida had no authority to.
Oh, no, not at all. It was not at all. I haven't made that. In fact, I haven't made that argument ever. It was in their discretion to do that. And they had the authority to do that.
And courts often will look at underlying reports, whether it's the report of a referee or somebody's brief or whatever. They can accept facts. Probation officers prepare pre-sentence reports, and district courts adopt them all the time.
Yes, but the contention is that the report of referee was based upon evidence that was fabricated by the prosecution, and that's the main argument.
But if you had wanted to contest that, what you had to do was file a timely challenge before the Supreme Court of Florida, because then at that point, other courts are entitled to rely on the findings of previous courts.
But if a report is based upon fraud, if it's based upon fabricated evidence, whether or not my brief was timely, I'm saying that constitutionally, that one cannot ignore fraud based upon a technicality. Which
where did you make any effort to show fraud in this case? At what level?
At the Supreme Court of Florida. In fact, most of the pleadings took place before the Supreme Court of Florida, not before the referee. Constitutional writs of prohibition, and they're referred to in some of the pleadings before the Supreme Court of the United States. I made a petition for mandamus before the Supreme Court of Florida. The petition for mandamus is part of the record here, or showing that we had an agreement on what. There was an agreement on July 2004 on what the settlement was. We agreed, we meaning the state and which were the winning parties, we agreed to pay the costs of opposing counsel's fees, $10,000 to Miller Canfield, $15,000 to Hodgkin and Russ. And then that was the agreement. At a hearing in 2008, the prosecution comes up with a new theory by saying that I had agreed as the winning lawyer to work for free, essentially.
Mr. Cavisto, if I could jump in here. Okay. You seem to be laboring under the misapprehension that a reciprocal discipline proceeding is a plenary proceeding and that you get to relitigate the Florida disciplinary proceeding on an essentially de novo basis. And you don't. You can't collaterally attack what happened with respect to your law license in Florida via a reciprocal discipline proceeding on an order to show cause in the Northern District of Illinois, which is essentially a follow-on proceeding. I mean, it's a very narrow kind of legal standard that applies. If the district court here is satisfied that you had reasonable process, which you did because you defaulted, and if the district court is satisfied that the discipline that was imposed is not wholly disproportionate, that's about the scope of review that you get. And you affirmatively misled the district court here by omitting a lot of important details about what happened in Florida in your response to the order to show cause. So you don't really stand before this court with clean hands.
First of all, I'm not under misapprehension. I was responding to the question from the bench about what attempts I made about the fraud. So, no, I'm not under misapprehension about that whatsoever. I answered the question. With respect to the report of referee is part of this record. It was given to the Northern District, and Northern District gave the report on April 12th. It brought a whole box of documents to this court. I didn't get a copy of the reports, but my understanding is that the record that I had given to them, which was the report of referee, which was just referred to and which I answered, so it was before this court. So I disagree with that. I mean, on that point, my whole argument with respect to this is on the thesis and that we solely rely on the report of the district court without making any independent investigation, that does not satisfy the selling requirements. That's been my argument for this court.
The rule that there's a duty to have an independent investigation when it's, as Judge Sykes said, a reciprocal discipline question. In fact, the rule is that an evidentiary hearing is not required in a federal disbarment when a full and fair hearing is offered in the state court.
I'm not arguing an evidentiary requirement. That's not the argument.
It sounds like you want, though, independent findings of fact about whatever happened in the previous jurisdiction, and I don't see where that rule of law comes from.
I think the law is that if you solely rely on the district court relies solely on the state court disbarment, that does not satisfy the Radford requirements. And that's the case, and the D.C. Circuit case says that, and so does the Supreme Court case Theard says that as well. There are two cases that stand for that, one for the D.C. Circuit and one from the Supreme Court of the United States.
But that's why the Northern District here looks to see whether the prior proceedings satisfied due process requirements. So that's a screen. And as Judge Sykes pointed out, whether there's some gross disproportionality. But that's what happened here. You evaluate what went on, and doesn't seem that's not the same as doing nothing, but it's a very, very restricted scope of review.
I'm sorry to disagree with that, but there's nothing in the district court opinion indicating that they did exactly what you said they did. All there is is recital to the Illinois order, nothing about selling, And you're assuming they said that. What I'm saying is there's
I'm also assuming that this is, in fact, something that this court can take a fairly quick look at and see that the Florida proceedings appear to be entirely regular. I mean, you had a chance to present these arguments to Florida.
I disagree that if the report of the referee is by fabricated evidence, that's regular. I'm sorry. With respect, I would disagree with that.
Okay. Well, that's fine. Any further questions? All right. Thank you
very
much. We will take the case under advisement.